Ron Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com. Jason in the House.
Welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. We got a lot to talk about today. We've got some really good stuff to talk about. And then we got a great guest. He's running for the United States Senate. His name is Derek Dooley, and in Georgia, that's going to be one of the pivotal races, because probably the person who is most vulnerable on the Democratic side of the aisle going into these midterms is Senator Ossoff. And so guess what? We got somebody who's stepping up and wants to be there. He's also a pretty famous name, that Dooley name, particularly in Georgia. You may know his dad, Vince Dooley, who was a longtime coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. For those of you who aren't involved and engaged in sports, I get that. I understand that. But I'm just telling you, he's got a real shot here, and it's going to be one of the premier races coming up. And so look forward to chatting with him. He's got an interesting background and involves football and sports and family and life, and that's why I love talking to people about, you know, their lives and what's going on and what they're doing, and really do look forward to chatting with them. So let's get things kicked off, though, and talk a little bit about the news, because I was fascinated this past week. The Oversight Committee, James Comer, chairman, job that I used to have, doing a fantastic job. He finally was able to get Governor Walz from Minnesota, Keith Ellison, the Attorney General from Minnesota, but particularly the governor. You know, they had a number of whistleblowers, and these aren't like Republicans, okay? But these are people who said, hey, there is corruption over here, and what did they do? They just exponentially grew that to the point that we're talking about billions and billions of our money. Every time the government spends money, they're taking it out of your wallet and giving it to somebody else. And we're a compassionate country. We help people. But you know what? When people abuse the system, there's nothing more offensive. And I think a lot of Americans feel like chumps because, you know what? They pay their taxes, they do their work, they do their things, and then some punk comes along and just steals it. And it's above and beyond waste, fraud, and abuse. It is outright corruption. And these whistleblowers have said, look, we have been telling you for a long time that this is the problem and what we want to do, and it needs to be fixed, and they didn't do anything about it. Does that make them complicit? You know, I think that's part of the question. I think that's part of the discussion that has to be had there. So I'm really glad they had the hearing. Now, in hearings, they don't give you handcuffs, right? I always got that complaint. How come we don't see anybody in jail? And I said, well, they don't give members of Congress handcuffs, nor should they. But they do shine a light, and they do provide insight so that future appropriations can actually go and work to fix this. Now, a lot of that's the Trump administration. Are they going to charge them through the Department of Justice? Some of them have been charged. But have they fixed the problem across the country? Because if you think it's just Minnesota, it ain't just Minnesota, right? So there's a lot more that has to happen there. But I think it was a really productive. It was terribly embarrassing for the governor and for the state of Minnesota. I hope the whistleblowers feel better that they were able to get out there and air the frustration that they had, because they saw it happening in real time, and they're waving their hands, and they're taking the brave stand to go out and say, hey, this is what's happening. And And yet nobody responded. And I think that is really, really shameful. All right, last one I want to mention is artificial intelligence. We're going to talk a lot about AI through this podcast, kind of week in and week out, because AI can be really good. You know, I think most people say, yeah, with medicine, look how great it would be. Look at how we can do things. For those of you that don't know about AI or artificial intelligence, it's not just, you know, if you've tried Grok or ChatGPT or something, it's not just Google but better. Like, oh, I'll Google that, but it's better. Oh, my gosh, the power of what AI can do and the speed and velocity in which they can do it is just unbelievable. But it does cause a lot of concern. Young people, old people, it doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum. What's it doing? What's it listening to? How does it learn? How crazy good is it that you can have a conversation? I think I mentioned before, but my wife and I were driving. We had a long drive. And we started asking questions about the place we're at. And I basically had a conversation with Grok that went on for 20 minutes. And it went everything from who's the, you know, most famous person from this area, and then, oh, we're just south of the city. What should I expect here? And one of them was this, like, venomous snake. We have those out west. And I said, what are you supposed to do for a snake bite? You know, and I heard you were supposed to, like, suck the venom out. And they're like, no. Grok's like, no, don't do that. This is the problem you can cause. And it was just a fascinating discussion. Some of it was funny to see what kind of response that Grok would give me. But absolutely unbelievable. But where it causes consternation and hesitation is the ability for people to predict what they should do and when they should do it. So, and what should they major in? I think there are a lot of young people coming out of high school. They're going to college. Then they got to get serious. Yeah, yowza. What am I supposed to be working on here? Where are the jobs of the future? I want to live the American dream. Because we used to tell everybody, get into coding. Now they tell people, don't get into coding. Well, it's kind of whiplash on that. I think everybody kind of unanimously understands that the trades, think of plumbing, think of electricity, think of building things, think of those are the jobs that are going to be plentiful, that are needed, that engineers and whatnot are going to thrive in the economy now and into the future with or without AI. But data input, people that sit at computers and manipulate data, those are going to be a little bit rougher. A lot of question marks about how that's going to work. And I think I talked to somebody who's really smart on this, and they said there will be billion-dollar companies built with 1, 2, 3 people. Because they can use AI so much. And then I think on the other end of the spectrum, you've got something that's going to scare people, and that is the deep fakes, faking voices, faking videos, faking faces. It's going to lead to more bullying. It's going to lead to more fraud. It's going to lead to people doubting what reality is. And I think that should be concerning to everybody. I wrote a piece for Fox News, and I've talked about this in the past, that this op-ed, I said, I think it's going to be one of the top 3 or 4 issues in the 2028 election, because it does concern people's jobs. It does concern their future. It does concern how they communicate with the world and what they're seeing on their computers. I guess the message at the end of all this is, let's also remember to put down those phones and computers and just get out and so-called, you know, walk barefoot through the grass, get up in the mountains and smell the timber and those pines and do real things rather than just live all of your life on the computer. I think it's a good reminder. All right, enough of that. Let's get on and talk about the stupid, because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. All right, the first one I've got is just so great. This comes from NJ.com, which is New Jersey. Count on Essex County. Here's the headline. Robber used Google Translate to announce holdup at New Jersey restaurant, cops said. Evidently, this person, maybe English was a second language, and so he had to use Google Translate. Now, there's an example of the world changing. He was trying to say, hey, everybody, this is a robbery. Put your hands up. And didn't know how to say it in English. So he went ahead and used Google Translate to announce this. They even have a picture of this guy in a mask at this door. So I think this one's pretty legit. But hopefully nobody got hurt. Hopefully nobody lost any money. And hopefully they caught the guy. But at the end of the day, it is kind of stupid, but it is kind of funny. All right, so along that theme, I got another one here. This comes from the AP News. Here's the headline coming from the Associated Press. Callers to Washington State Hotline press 2 for Spanish and get an accented AI English instead. So we were just talking about AI. Nothing like just getting somebody in English trying to throw a Spanish accent in there. Press 2 for Spanish, and they just get an accent. That is so funny. I don't know. They're just kind of stupid. Somebody tried, but didn't do it very successfully. Just that was kind of lame and pretty funny if you really think about it. And then you probably heard about this one. I hope you heard about this one, because this also comes from the Associated Press. Tampa International Airport shares it wants to ban pajamas. It was a joke. It was kind of a, hey, we're just kidding here. But they put it out like, you know, because Secretary Duffy said, let's try to dress it up a little bit at the airport. We don't need everybody coming all slummed out and, you know, wearing slippers and whatnot at the, on these airplanes. So Tampa International Airport, they're just trying to engage socially on social media, put something fun out there that people engage with. Yeah, well, it engaged a lot of people because too many people thought it was like way, way serious. No, they calmed it down. It's just a joke, but still, we can be a little more polite at the airport, be nicer, be kinder, maybe get a little dressed up, maybe just a little bit. That was sort of their point. All right, and then, I cannot believe this is true, but it's in Forbes, and they got pictures, and I've read it. Another, meaning there had to be one before, Camel Beauty Contest is hit by a Botox cheating scandal. Oman, which is down there right in the thick of where all the problems are in the Middle East, just off the coast of Iran there, but a friendly kind of Switzerland kind of company, country. But Oman's recent pageant scandal isn't the first time that the camels have come into the crosshairs of cheating by using aesthetic enhancements designed for humans. It is unbelievable, but they actually have beauty pageants for camels in Oman. But some people have been using, you know, Botox. And they've been calling it out, saying, that is not fair. That is just not right. And you can understand how somebody would get really, really upset about it. Hyaluronic acid injections were used to plump those signature pouty lips. Dermal filters and silicone for a more statuesque nasal profile. Botox to soften the face in an expression of perpetual serene superiority. Silicone wax to inflate the hump just so. That gets used in humans. But I'm telling you, hormones to sculpt the kind of muscular definition that would make a CrossFit camel blush. Unbelievable what the scandal is there. And they got all kinds of pictures to back it up. Aye, aye, aye. That's this week's stupid.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. If you're nearing retirement, stop what you're doing and listen, because what's unfolding right now could hit your 401k or IRA harder than anything we've seen in years. Military escalation across the Middle East, a tariff war spilling into the courts, the U.S. dollar facing pressure that historically signals one thing, a flight to safety. Smart money has been moving into gold and silver, and it's not slowing down. Call Advantage Gold right now at 800-900-8000 and get your free gold investment kit, plus a free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's eye-opening book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. Thousands of Americans have already rolled over a portion of their retirement savings into physical gold and silver, completely tax and penalty free through Advantage Gold. The next news cycle won't wait for you. Get into position now. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Results vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Baltimore Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, broke the record for most consecutive games played, 2,131. The record had been held for 56 years before that by Lou Gehrig.
Well, you know, I see myself as someone that was very lucky and had a good career, and I think that I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't put myself all the way down and not think that I've had a pretty significant career. I've enjoyed being in the presence of all the great players and this collection of players. I sat and talked to Henry Aaron a long time and really enjoyed talking to Kirk Gibson and Pete Rose. I just enjoy being in the environment. Maybe when I get older and you start to look back, you may have a historical view of your career. But right now, I just see myself as a guy that was lucky enough to play baseball for a long time.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute. A multi-state manhunt has ended with the arrest of an Iowa man in connection with a triple homicide in Wayne County, Utah. The suspect, 22-year-old Ivan Miller, was taken into custody in Colorado. He is accused of killing three women in what investigators are describing as crimes of convenience. Authorities say 86-year-old Margaret Oldroyd was his first victim, and her body was found hidden in a cellar on her property. Police report Miller then stole Oldroyd's vehicle and drove to a trailhead where he allegedly killed two hikers, 65-year-old Linda Dewey and her 34-year-old niece, Natalie Graves. The women were discovered by their husbands when they failed to return from their walk. He faces three counts of aggravated murder, among other charges. Wayne County officials state there is no connection between the suspect and any of the victims. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is Fox on Justice. A case in Fairfax County, Virginia is drawing national attention. Emails Fox 5 DC obtained show police last year warned prosecutors that given his alleged history of stabbings and assaults, if Abdul Jalloh were out of jail, he would, quote, maliciously wound or worse again. Fairfax County police say he did just that last month, stabbing and murdering Stephanie Minter at a bus stop. Now his case and Democratic Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger have drawn the attention of national Republicans, like Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt.
She will not work with ICE. If for some reason this monster gets released, she will not let ICE know when he's being released.
On her first day in office, Spanberger signed an executive order that ended state police and corrections agreements with ICE. The Department of Homeland Security says Jalloh is from Sierra Leone and entered the U.S. illegally in 2012. In 2020, a judge ordered his removal, but immigration officials have had challenges getting Sierra Leone to accept its citizens. Rich Edson, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Let's go on because we got a really good guest. We're going to shift gears now, but, oh, man, I'm telling you, that camel story just makes it all for me. But I'm really, really pleased that we're able to have our next guest. And so help me bring in Derek Dooley. We're thrilled to have on the line Derek Dooley. You're a candidate for the United States Senate. Thanks for joining us on Jason in the House.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be on here.
Well, I truly appreciate it. You know, I appreciate anybody kind of step up, put their life on hold and decide to, you know, put your name out there on a ballot. That's a brave thing to do, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly new at this. I'm not part of the political establishment for sure. I had a 28-year career as a football coach. 19 years in college, 9 in the NFL. Jason, I actually started out, I don't know if you know this, as a lawyer. I went to law school at Georgia and practiced law briefly for a year and a half, but then decided to change my approach and chase sort of what my dreams were, and that's to make an impact on young people. And I loved what I was doing in coaching. There's certainly a lot of highs and lows. It's not an easy profession, and I was a part of some great teams and championship teams and also part of some teams that got their teeth kicked in. But I think every coach can attest to this. No matter what level you're on, what kept you going is the impact you're making on young people, where you're taking them and mentoring them and developing them and giving them an opportunity to not just be better players, but also better people. And so it's a very rewarding profession.
Well, I have long argued that so much of what I learned in life wasn't necessarily sitting in a classroom, but it was out on the sports field. Played a lot of soccer, and then I actually played college football. I was a place kicker once upon a time on the BYU football team, and one of my prized possessions, I played in the Holiday Bowl, and in the Holiday Bowl, BYU was playing Penn State, and somehow on the aircraft carrier, I have a picture, and it's of me, Joe Paterno, and Vince Dooley. I don't know why he was there, but he was there. And then I got him to sign it. It was really cool. It was really neat to know your father. For those of you who don't understand, Derek Dooley's dad was the legendary football coach at Georgia, Vince Dooley.
Jason, I got to say, I did some research on you, but I didn't know you were a kicker, man. You really surprised me on that one.
They're the most important guys on the field. I mean, there's a reason you call it football.
It's what makes the sport so great, because a player can be all shapes and sizes. You can be big, you can be small, you can be tall, you can be short. It doesn't matter. There's a role for you everywhere, and certainly the kicker, who's the least significant person on the field until he trots out there and he becomes the most. But, you mentioned the impact football had on you and skills. You think about skills that matter most in life, whether it's learning how to work hard, learning how to work with other people, learning how to take responsibility for your actions, learning how to overcome adversity. These aren't values that really get taught well in school, but they're the most important values in life. And it allows you to go through the ups and downs and try to be the best version you can be. And so it plays an important role in our society. And I'm glad to know you got a little taste of it. And I'm glad to hear you. You met my father. He had a big impact on me. Certainly was a Hall of Fame coach and AD, and probably the main reason what drove me to get into coaching.
Well, it's true. You look at these coaches, and it doesn't just have to be football. It could be gymnastics. It can be music. It can be theater. It can be whatever it might be. But certainly for me, sport, just in my personal upbringing, coaches, they're teaching you things you don't even know are being taught, and you transition from being a teenager to being an adult. There are a lot of life lessons that have to get a lot, and you learn to win, and you learn to lose, and you learn to get along, and you learn to take some direction from other people, and you learn not to whine and cry, and there's so many lessons that I learned, and so I 100% agree with you, the impact that you can have. It's more than just about how many touchdowns and field goals you can make, but it's about affecting young people's lives, because I bet you did that by the thousands.
Well, you like to think you did, and a lot of times you don't really see the benefits of your work, because sometimes the impact you make is a little later than when you're making it. You have to be have some tough love a lot of times. But I also, a lot of people have asked me, Jason, how does coaching relate to politics? But you think about, I think of football, but all sports really is part of the American spirit, because you have some ups and you have some downs, and that's how life is. You don't always have great years. You don't always have great days. Sometimes you make mistakes as a coach. Sometimes you make mistakes in life. Sometimes things happen beyond your control. And so it truly is the American spirit, and it allows, as a coach, you can really relate to everyday people's struggles. And, when you sit in kitchens and living rooms with people from all walks of life over a 3-decade career, you learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about their dreams and their struggles. And you like to be able to think that you can help them when you're focused on serving them and focused on helping them solve problems.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be back with more of my conversation with Derek Dooley right after this.
More Jason in the House next.
Imagine walking to your home and instantly feeling relaxed because the colors are fresh, clean, and exactly your style. That's what Eagle Eye Painting does for homeowners every day. Careful prep, protecting your furniture and floors, and a smooth, beautiful finish you'll be proud to show off. We're local, licensed, bonded, insured, and we're happy to help you in English or Spanish. Ready to fall in love with your home again? Call Eagle Eye Painting today at 530-410-1317 for a free, friendly estimate. That's 530-410-1317 or visit 530painter.com.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Join us for a live jazz concert at Shasta College, March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Enjoy an evening of dynamic rhythms and classic jazz standards. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. For more information, go to shastacollege.edu/artsevents.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The lower the rate you'll likely pay. Generally, a 740-plus credit score or a score in the mid-700s and above will give someone the best terms on a personal loan. When applying for a personal loan, make sure you're using it for a need as opposed to a want, like a vacation. For example, a need for a personal loan might help you save a lot of money by paying off high-cost credit card debt at a lower rate and a lot less time than only making minimum payments. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Jason in the house.
Let's go back for a second, if we can, and let's just talk about early growing up. What was life like? I don't know. Did you have brothers, sisters? Were you playing sports? Were you a geek? What was going on when you were growing up?
Well, I grew up in a normal family. Like, we had an older, I had an older brother and two older sisters in Athens, Georgia. And as you know, when I was born, my father was the head coach at Georgia. Yeah. And so I didn't know any different. But one of the things I'm most grateful for in growing up is my parents really kept us grounded. And, you know, we went to the public schools and nobody ever treated us any differently, whether Georgia won or whether Georgia lost. I was just like one of the guys. And I was very active in sports, but I also was very, I took school seriously too. So I like to think I did both and I had a good time. And so, you know, it's a three-way deal, but it was an incredible experience growing up on the sidelines, especially during an era in Georgia football where they had a lot of success and won a lot of championships. And that led me to, you know, continue my journey. I actually went to the University of Virginia and played, walked on there. Nobody wanted me. I thought I was a lot better player than everybody else did. But no, and so I walked on and ended up getting a scholarship and, you know, played all, you know, started at University of Virginia and had a great career. Worked in D.C. a couple of times while I was at it and, you know, majored in government and foreign affairs. So I was really involved in both athletics, but also academically took it very seriously. And that's what led me to law school.
So there comes a point where you're making this decision. I mean, how do you, what happened? What was your experience when you woke up one day and said, you know what, honey, I think we should run for the United States Senate? What was that moment? What was that push? What was that drive that kind of pushed you over the edge saying, all right, we're going to put our life on hold. There's lots of other things you could have been doing, making money, doing, you know, but to put yourself out there as a candidate, what compelled you to do that?
It was really a build up, Jason. And, you know, when you're coaching, you're all in. You're not even looking up for air. That's just the way it is. And that's the way I was until COVID hit us. And what happened after COVID during the last administration, really, probably like millions of other people, it jarred me. It had a real effect on me in looking at our country. I felt like that our country was getting driven off a cliff on seeing things that I thought I would never see. And we had a senator here in Georgia sitting there riding shotgun supporting everything. And so that was sort of the genesis of waking up, so to speak, on what was going on from a leadership standpoint. But then what compounded the problem was I would turn on the TV and Congress had changed. The leadership in Congress didn't look like it was when I was growing up. I didn't think that they were working for the American people the way they used to be. And I felt like it's become a situation where people are becoming more concerned about getting elected. They're more concerned about maybe getting famous on social media or what have you.
Yeah.
Then they are solving problems for the American people. And, you know, as a coach, it's always about people and the team. And if they succeeded, we all succeeded. And so I just felt like we need to send better leaders up to D.C. And somebody's got to do it. And so I said, this is it. And when Governor Kemp decided he wasn't going to run, you know, a lot of people down here in Georgia thought that Governor Kemp was going to run for Senate because he's terming out. He's a very popular governor. And so it wasn't until after he publicly said, I'm not running for Senate, that the window just sort of opened for me. I had gotten out a couple of years prior to that or a year prior to that trying to make a difference in this country in some way. And when that happened, that's when the door opened and I jumped right in.
How is, you know, you haven't done this a lot before. So how is it in the short time that you have been doing it, how is it different than maybe what you thought it was going to be?
Well, I did a lot of diligence. I didn't take this decision lightly, a couple of months, but you know, you'd actually be surprised that a lot of the things that you do as a coach really translate in a lot of ways, to what happens in politics, Jason, certainly on a campaign. And think of this, as a coach, you have, families and players and young people that you're trying to inspire, you're trying to lead, you're trying to get your message across to them every day, similar to the way you would want to do to voters. But you also have to raise a lot of money when you're a coach. I mean, you have to have these boosters who support your program. And so you better learn to interact with a lot of different types of people in the business community who've can help the program, and you got to sell your message and what you believe. And as you know, Jason, you were there a long time. I mean, you know how fundraising is important in a campaign. You just can't make it if you don't can fundraise.
Yeah.
But then the third thing is you're dealing with the media every day.
Right.
And certainly that's a big piece of politics. And so as far as what you're doing, it's really not much different, surprisingly, other than when you start coaching on game day. It's just what you're talking about and what you're selling and your message is very different. Well, and so for that reason, it's been a fun transition. Now, certainly there's a lot of differences as far as the messaging and what you're talking about. And there's a big learning curve on the issues. And I poured in pretty hard on that. But as far as reaching out, connecting with people, and selling your ability to serve them, that's what you did as a coach, and that's what I plan to do in politics.
What is you're out talking to regular people, real people. This is what's so great about campaigns. If you don't get your boots dirty and get out there and go talk to people, they know it. You can't just buy ads and expect to get to the finish line. As you're doing that with the good people of Georgia all up and down the state, what are they telling you? What are they worried about? What are their aspirations?
Well, I've put about 25,000 miles on my truck since August, probably more than that. Driving around, Georgia's a big state, talking to a lot of people. And like you said, I've probably done 75% of the time listening to people. And you really do get a feel for what their concerns are. I will say this. One thing that is fundamental to everybody you talk to across the state, and I don't even care what political affiliation you are, most people want the same stuff. They want to live in a safe community. They want their kids to be able to get an education and develop skills that allows them to get a job and afford a family, afford a home and raise a family. Those are the basics. And I think Congress gets distracted from those basic principles. You know, affordability came alive right before the holidays. Like, this was a big issue. And I was thinking to myself, hell, affordability is an issue every year.
Yeah.
Why is it an issue now? So that's the overarching thing. But I will tell you this. Voters are frustrated with how Congress is working right now. There's a real feeling that there's a lot of screaming and yelling. There's a lot of blaming each other. And voters don't really care about all that political stuff. They want you to get together and get solutions. They're not looking for government shutdowns. They're not looking for blaming the other side on why we can't fix health care. They're not looking for all these excuses. They want results. They want you to get up there and work with whoever you need to work with to figure it out and give us a result that can help move the ball forward for our country. And there's a sentiment that that's how it used to be, and we've lost our way a little bit. And that's why I'm so compelled to run this election, and it's why I've become more confident every week that I've been out that this is what voters want. They want something different. They want somebody who's going to go up there, who's going to put the people first, ahead of their political career, ahead of their fame, whatever it is, and try to deliver results as best they can.
Yeah, I do. I think people, they want you to work hard, work across the aisle. You know, there's my 8+ years of experience there in the House. I never got in trouble by working and interacting with Democrats. The voters back in Utah, which were very conservative. I mean, this is a state where Bill Clinton came in third twice. So, you know, it's pretty conservative. It's moving a little bit more to purple, but it's not there yet, thank goodness. But they just wanted me to get stuff done. They wanted to see that I was working hard. And, you know, I was able to pass a number of bills, even though Barack Obama was the president. So I think it is key to what they get done. And you can stay true to your principles without sacrificing those and still be able to work with somebody on the other side of the aisle.
Jason, I'm so glad you're saying that, and because I just believe it in my heart. It doesn't mean we're not going to have differences, and it doesn't mean there's some fundamental things that we're never going to agree on. I mean, that's a fact. But, you know, people ask me, and I want to hear, this is coming from somebody who has experience up there. They ask me, well, how do you think you can do that? How do you think you can? And I'm not naive to think that I'm going to go up there and start whipping around and changing, making reforms. I'm not naive, but the only way I know how to do it is the old-fashioned way, and that's developing relationships with people you're going to work with on both sides of the aisle and ultimately finding some commonality and figuring out how can I advance some of these things that I want to advance and build a coalition that way. And I'm assuming that's what you did up there.
Well, and this is where I think coaches have done this. You've been in coaching and you've been successful. Any coach that comes at you, you have been dealing, particularly the football team, right, where you've got so many different people. They come from all different walks of life. They have all sorts of experiences and education levels and family experiences and work ethics and everything. And the job of a coach is to get them all moving together in the same direction and seeing the same vision and understanding, hey, we're calling different plays every single time. You got to know your part. You got to do it. And when you screw up, get them back and going. And so coaches, I think, have actually an inherent advantage in building a team to actually get some stuff done, because if you're going to move the ball down the field or stop somebody else from moving the ball down the field, you better get this cohesive group of people together moving in the same direction.
You're exactly right, and I think people really underestimate what day one looks like on a team.
Right.
I mean, you have 120 guys, or in the NFL a lot less, but still in training camp that many, from all walks of life. And listen, race, income, religion, politics, it's from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
And to think that everybody just comes in and they're all together and moving in the right direction, that's not how it works. And so it takes a lot of cultivating. It takes a lot of messaging and selling sort of what we're doing and what's our common goal together. And then a lot of tough times working together, debate, argument, conflict, love, hugs, tears. It takes a lot to build something together. And now certainly working together in Congress is not like you're out on the practice field, but you also have that when you're on a staff, on a coaching staff. You know, there's a head coach who sets the direction of the program. And it's not unlike what it is when you have a president. We got a president now who's kind of the head coach of the country. And so to me, Congress is like the assistant coaches. We got to go try to execute and get these things pushed through together so that we have success as a country. And that means selling your message the right way, finding common ground on what we can agree on. And that takes work. It takes work from a relationship building standpoint, and it takes a level of persistence, because you'll go day in and day out thinking you're hitting a roadblock here. These guys will never cave into this. But you got to keep going, and you got to keep pushing, because the ultimate goal is to get it across the finish line.
More Jason in the House next.
America, look around. Everywhere you go, prices are still high, rates have been whipsawing markets, and the debt and spending don't exactly scream stability. Experts say diversifying with intention is the number one secret account that all American smart money uses to hedge against instability. Monetary Gold has been around since 2000, witnessing multiple economic setbacks. If you call now, Monetary Gold will cover up to a lifetime of your IRA fees on qualified accounts. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage Powered Nasal Irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage. Available at CVS and Target.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blanton.
Voter frustration with Washington is clear. While a high of 8% of voters say they're enthusiastic about how the federal government is working these days, our Fox News survey finds a record high 32% are angry. Economic pressures are driving the mood. By a wide margin, the cost of living is voters' top economic concern, as large numbers say prices over the past year have increased for groceries, utilities, healthcare, and housing. Just 22% of voters think inflation is mostly or completely under control. 7 in 10 say the economy is in bad shape. More than half describe their personal finances negatively. Their frustration is spilling over politically. More than half disapprove of President Trump's job performance. Nearly two-thirds disapprove of congressional Republicans. And a record 7 in 10 give negative marks to congressional Democrats. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Sarah Shahi, Chris Marshall, and Nicole Bryden Bloom of Hulu's Paradise, which is back with season 2.
Every character is tapping into something very unique to them to survive in Paradise. So for each of your characters, what do you feel that is?
I think what keeps Robinson alive is her intuition. I think that same intuition drives her through season 1 and takes her from being an adversary with Xavier's character, then flipping it and then, you know, becoming connected in the two of them and taking on this sort of huge infrastructure of this big bad town.
You know, Jane operates as kind of like a soldier. She's working as Sinatra's right-hand woman at the moment, and I think that gives her a sense of purpose for sure. But we've also seen her go off the rails and make decisions that are not given as an order.
I think what always motivates Gabriella is this innate sense to serve the people at the highest good, you know, in their highest good.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Talking with Derek Dooley, and we got to wrap up here a little bit, but I do like asking just kind of these rapid questions, if you don't mind. You've been very generous with your time, but I got a few more. We'll go quick through these.
I hope I can keep up.
All right, here we go. All right. First concert you ever attended?
Holy smokes. I wasn't ready for that.
These are not supposed to be easy questions.
My first concert, if we want to call it that, is when R.E.M. was in Athens. And I didn't even know who R.E.M. was. But we were a little bit underage, probably, and it was a place we could go and maybe get something we weren't supposed to get and watch this band play. And R.E.M. was there, and I'm like, man, I don't think these guys are ever going to make it. And then I went off to college, and they hit it big. I'm like, yeah, I was with them from the beginning.
Yeah, there you are. What was your high school mascot?
We were the Gladiators, and we were red and gold. And we were red and gold, and I played for one of the greatest high school coaches of all time who has inspired me to this day, who that you can believe in doing it and you can get it done. It can be done was his motto. And he said, you bleed red and gold. And when you bleed red and gold, you can get it done. And so it was a great experience.
It is a funny exercise to ask people their high school mascot because there's the whole gambit. Rarely do you get one that's the same, but that's a good one. Gladiators tougher than most. I can appreciate that. All right, if you could meet one person, bring them over for dinner, break bread, share a meal with them, say, hey, family, come on over. We got this. Anybody in history, dead or alive, you could have them come on over and share dinner with them. Who would that be?
Well, if it's anybody in history, I got to say Jesus. I mean, he was the all-timer of all times. And so it's, you know, I have a strong faith and there's nobody that has impacted our world and society more than Jesus Christ himself. So I'd be remiss not to list him as number one on the list.
What's the best advice you ever got?
Well, I have so many that I can think of. But I'm going to give you one that I always live by is life wouldn't be so difficult if we didn't expect it to be so easy. And I think expectations are really important. You know, most young people think that you're going to come in and I'm going to be the starter and I'm going to get all A's and I'm going to have all this success. And they expect it. And then when it gets hard, they don't know how to handle the difficulty. And so I think it's very important. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't dream and vision great things happening to you. But I think it's so important for young people to understand that life is tough and there's difficulties every day. There's some you anticipate. There's mostly stuff you don't anticipate. And if you know that going in, you're much better equipped from an attitude standpoint and a problem solving standpoint to overcome it. And so I always remind my kids, life wouldn't be so difficult if you didn't expect it to be so easy. And when you expect it to be tough, it doesn't seem tough when it's happening.
That's great advice. I had not heard that before, and I love it. Really do appreciate it. We're talking with Derek Dooley. He's a candidate for the United States Senate there in the great state of Georgia. And, sir, I thank you for your time and truly appreciate it. Wish you nothing but the best of luck. And thanks for you and your family for your willingness to step up and say, hey, people of Georgia, consider us. Think about us, because I can tell you've got the energy and excitement and enthusiasm that it takes in order to serve the people in the United States Senate. So thank you so much for joining us on the Jason in the House podcast.
Jason, thank you for having me, and I look forward to seeing that picture of you and my father one day.
I got to get that. I will get that posted up. Very good.
Please do.
Well, I can't thank Derek enough. Derek Dooley, out there, putting his name out there. It's tough to make that decision to run for the United States Senate. You put yourself out there, you expose your family, and it's tough. There's going to be an absurd amount of money that is going to be spent directly by each of the candidates and by the outside groups. Perhaps one of the most expensive races in the history of Senate races. But it's really going to be a fascinating race as we watch it play out. And I think, learning more about him one of the contestants is really interesting. So, I want to remind people, if they could please rate this podcast, I'd truly appreciate it. Subscribe to it so it shows up every Monday morning. That would be great. And I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Go on over or go to foxnewspodcast.com. You've got a lot of good podcasts out there. My colleague Trey Gowdy, others. Kennedy, there's just some really good quality. Emily Campagno, there's some really good podcasts out there. Brett Baer, Shannon Bream, some names you see a lot at Fox. Go check out their podcasts as well. Again, rate it, review it. That would be great. And we'll be back with more next week. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
If your investments are in a 401k or an IRA, then listen carefully. You spent 30, maybe 40 years building your retirement. The question is, are you about to watch it take a hit you can't recover from? Military escalation in Iran, tariffs in legal chaos, the U.S. dollar under pressure it hasn't seen in years. History is clear. When this much uncertainty hits at once, the investors who moved into gold and silver first came out ahead. Right now, Advantage Gold is offering a free gold investment kit and a free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's powerful new book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000. Thousands of Americans have already rolled over a portion of their 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver, completely tax and penalty free, through Advantage Gold. Don't wait for the next surge to wish you had moved sooner. Results vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Gas prices have surged because of the Iran conflict, but economist Steve Moore believes they'll be coming down soon.
We're going to see for the next couple of weeks maybe the oil price at that level. And then as we start to see these disruptions in the global oil supply chains reduced, I think you'll see oil flow right back down to the, you know, the $3 range that we were seeing a few months ago.
Moore, with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. A progressive activist group has reportedly been caught coaching members on how to conceal their political views during jury selection in federal cases tied to the Trump Department of Justice. They would then use jury nullification to block all convictions.
Freedom Trainers, formed in late 2024, reportedly train activists to dress neutrally, avoid revealing political affiliations, and pass through jury selection undetected. Once seated, trainees allegedly are encouraged to vote not guilty regardless of evidence, leveraging jury nullification as a political tool.
The Justice Department warns that it takes such attempts to improperly influence juries seriously, and legal experts say the scheme undermines the constitutional right to an impartial jury. The Michigan synagogue that came under attack this past week when an armed man drove his car into the temple building had for months been strengthening its security apparatus. Temple Israel had hired a seasoned police lieutenant as its security director. None of its congregants were killed in the attack. Kirsten Sinema says in a legal document she did have a romantic relationship with a member of her security detail, but her lawyer argues a lawsuit seeking damages against her should be dismissed. The guard's ex-wife is now suing the former Arizona senator in North Carolina federal court. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085 or biglou.com.
Airline ticket prices are going up. Cathay Pacific, Air France, KLM, and a handful of other carriers have already raised their fares or added fuel surcharges as aviation gas is increasing in expense. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby has warned that higher ticket prices will probably start soon. Experts say it's not a question of if they'll go up, but when and how much, especially on long-haul international routes. Powerful winds and extreme weather are knocking out power, damaging property, and fueling wildfires all across the central U.S. this weekend. About 346,000 customers still without electricity last check in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Officials in Nebraska say wind-driven grass fires have killed at least one person and have damaged at least 12 structures, destroying them entirely. Blizzard conditions are expected in the upper Midwest before it's all over. News and analysis at townhall.com. One leading CEO is leaving Washington State. Correspondent Ken Lormond explains why.
Starbucks founder Howard Schultz has announced his family is moving from Seattle to Miami following Washington Democrats' passage of a 9.9% income tax on those earning over $1 million annually.
Starbucks will open a corporate office in Nashville, offering relocation to Seattle-based employees and expanding its presence in the Southeast. Today is Sunday, March the 15th, the 74th day of 2026. On this date in history, 44 BC, on the Ides of March, Roman dictator Julius Caesar was assassinated by Roman senators, including Brutus and Cassius, who feared that Caesar was going to establish a monarchy. And on this date in 1972, The Godfather, Francis Ford Coppola's iconic film, premiered in New York. More on these stories at townhall.com.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Reading and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at plumasbank.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The Fred Bear Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
U.S. and Israeli forces have struck thousands of targets across Iran so far, severely damaging Iran's military and killing the supreme leader. The regime remains in place, with the supreme leader's son, Mokhtaba Khamenei, appointed the new supreme leader last Sunday. In a press conference on Monday, President Trump said the administration is waiving certain oil-related sanctions to reduce prices, as he warns the U.S. military campaign in Iran could go further.
As we continue Operation Epic Fury, we're also focused on keeping energy and oil flowing to the world. And I will not allow a terrorist regime to hold the world hostage and attempt to stop the globe's oil supply. And if Iran does anything to do that, they'll get hit at a much, much harder level. I will take out those targets that were easy and that I mentioned just before. We'll take them out so quickly, they'll never be able to recover, ever.
Meanwhile, back home, the Department of Homeland Security remains unfunded, leaving thousands of federal workers without pay as Congress remains in deadlock over proposed ICE reforms. With that, let's bring in our panel. Resident Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, Mark Thiessen, Fox News Senior Political Analyst, Juan Williams, and Fox News National Security Correspondent, Jennifer Griffin. Jenna, it seemed like the president was forecasting that this, well, he called it a short incursion and seem to be signaling there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't know how long that tunnel is.
Well, I think the problem is, Brett, we've had some mixed messaging from the beginning, both from the president as well as from the Pentagon. On the one hand, they've said that in the beginning we heard that it was going to be 4 to 5 days from well-placed officials and sources. And then the president started talking about 4 to 5 weeks. I think the reason he did that is he did not want to give the Iranians have wanted to wait this out from the beginning, and they thought they could, if they can just survive and hold on and resist the large number of airstrikes which are taking place, that they could live to fight another day. And so I think the president wanted to give people a sense that this was not going to be a quick 12-day operation. But then what happened is that the oil prices started going through the roof, and the talk of basically closing the Strait of Hormuz got everyone's attention. And then the Iranians started firing on all the other Gulf states, which threatened to spread this conflict. So I think what you're seeing is a delicate dance where he's trying to buy time for the military to complete their objectives, which they are making a very, very good progress, but they are not complete, and they certainly have not touched the nuclear program yet. So I think he's really trying to message, and the reason there is this confusing messaging is because of the issue of the oil markets.
Speaking of the Strait of Hormuz, the president going to Truth Social saying, "I'm pleased to report that we have hit and completely destroyed 10 inactive mine-laying boats and or ships with more to follow." He had a warning, Mark, about any mines being laid in the Strait.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to try and open the Straits of Hormuz and reduce the impact on the oil markets, but this was always contemplated, and there might have been some messaging psychological operations for the Iranians. This was also always contemplated as a 4 to 5 week operation, and it goes in sequence. So the first steps are to take down their ability, their air defenses, and their ability to fire at the U.S. and its allies in the Middle East. And those are down, you know, the ballistic missile strikes are down 90%, the drone strikes are down 85%. That mission is close to accomplishment. The regime targets were never supposed to be a part of the first phase of the operation, except that they got a target of opportunity when the Ayatollah Khamenei decided to have an open meeting with 48 of his friends, and that target of opportunity was taken. But that was supposed to be subsequent. And so they're going forward. They're going to target leadership. They're going to target the nuclear program, and they're targeting the infrastructure of internal repression and the infrastructure of terror export. And Trump is not going to stop until all of those goals are accomplished. And as those goals are accomplished, you're going to see, you know, more of a fracture inside the regime, because as he starts going after the leadership, some people are going to be dead enders, but some people are going to say, you know what, I really don't want to be a martyr, and might come out to work with us. And you could also see, people say, well, why haven't the people risen up? Because Trump told them not to. On the day he announced the operation, he said, stay in your homes. There's going to be a lot of bombs dropping. When we're done, go up and rise up and take your government. So that phase of the operation we haven't even come close to yet.
Yeah, Juan, in the official allegiance ceremony to the new supreme leader, Mujtaba Khamenei, the Iranians brought out a cardboard cutout of him. I mean, that's a dangerous job, supreme leader now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. You know, the other side of that from the Iranian perspective is, I think we, the United States, had hoped that you would see someone who was more amenable to negotiation with the rest of the world than his father. Instead, we've killed off his father and apparently killed off much of his family. And so I don't think we've exactly set an atmosphere where he's likely to be a willing partner in terms of negotiations with the United States. And what we're seeing on the ground is that the Iranian public has come out in large numbers in support of this new hardliner. And I think that's very disappointing from the American perspective, because we would have hoped that there would have been an opportunity here quickly for some, you know, resistance to build and maybe revolt. And if you recall, last week you did a very good interview, I thought, with one of the Kurdish leaders on the outside. And I think there was a hope that maybe some of the other elements in the Middle East would help the United States by putting their boots on the ground and going in to take on what remains of the Iranian regime. But what we have right now after President Trump's press conference yesterday, I think, is that, you know, we're going to try to keep going militarily, but we are very worried about public opinion, especially when it comes to the expression in terms of concern over gas prices, oil prices. And the president said twice, basically, look, we're on the downside. You know, we've accomplished so much, and now we are just finishing up. And it had a tremendously positive impact on the stock market. The stock market rebounded. But we see that the fighting continues. So you see these, you know, is it over? Is it not over? We don't know. And clearly there have been additional attacks on other Middle East states by the Iranians. It doesn't, it's just hard to get a secure grasp on exactly how close we are to the end of this thing.
I guess, Jen, I'm reading what the president's saying, and that is soon, very soon, not this week, but he leaves for China on March 29th. And one would think that in the big picture, they would want to have something wrapped in a bow and said mission accomplished in their own way to the objectives that they laid out, which is taking down the missile batteries, reducing the threat from nuclear, obliterating it again, and taking down the Iranian Navy. As for regime change, that was in the Israelis' file, and whether that goes forward or not is in question. Is that what you see?
Well, I think from the military planners that I've spoken to, they definitely need a couple of more weeks. And certainly the president would like to have this wrapped up by the time he goes to China. I think the problem right now that we're looking at, and it really comes down to the Strait of Hormuz and oil again, the Gulf states say that they really can't turn off their oil spigots and have everything backed up. They can't survive if it goes on more than a week or two. And Saudi Arabia can because they have the East-West pipeline that can get 7 million barrels a day out through the Red Sea. But those other Gulf states are going to be crying uncle soon. You've already seen Saudi Aramco say that they are facing catastrophic consequences from the Strait of Hormuz being closed. So the president can say that he wants to open the Strait of Hormuz. He can threaten the Iranians. But what the Iranians have is they have an unlimited ability to mine the strait. The U.S. only has a few deminers. They certainly are actively watching and trying to take out the vessels that would lay the mines. But the way it's been described to me is that any civilian vessel in the strait can lay those mines. So you have a potential for sort of terrorism, if you will, where they can just go out. They have thousands of these older mines. It can be very time-consuming to have to demine the strait. Also, the Iranians have submarines that are much quieter, frankly, than our nuclear submarines, and they can lay on the bottom of the strait, and they just the threat of having them there, no oil tanker is going to pass through that strait. And the idea of the U.S. escorting, the U.S. Navy escorting the ships, while that is a good idea at some point, you will have had to suppress completely all the drones that the Iranians have and any threat from the shores, as well as this mining issue, and they are far from doing that from what I understand.
We'll be back with more of my All-Star panel right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SELECT to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SELECT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SELECT for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
This is House Call for Health. The weather is getting warmer, and for some, that means outdoor grilling on the way, but millions of brushes used on grills are being pulled from shelves due to concerns about internal injuries. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission says more than 3 million Weber metal wire bristle grill brushes are being recalled. The commission says six different types of grill brushes are affected. The agency says small metal wire bristles may stick to grill grates and end up in food, posing a risk for serious internal injuries that could could require surgery. The commission says there have been at least 38 reports made of bristles detaching, with four requiring medical attention to remove the bristles from a throat or digestive tract. The recalled brushes were sold in-store or online at Lowe's, Home Depot, Ace Hardware, Target, Weber.com, some even popping up on eBay. Consumers are being urged to stop using them immediately and contact Weber for a replacement. For more health news, go to FoxNewsHealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
I'm Gianna Jalosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A missing North Carolina mom of three has been found 24 years after she ran away and left her family, and now she's in trouble with the law for an old drunk driving charge. Michelle Hunley Smith, now 62 years old, was taken into custody February 25th on an outstanding failure to appear warrant tied to the November 2001 DWI charge. Court records show Smith was cited for driving while impaired on November 11th, 2001. Smith was 38 years old when she disappeared December 9th, 2001, after she left her Rockingham County, North Carolina home to go Christmas shopping and never came back. Earlier this month, detectives tracked her down somewhere in North Carolina after getting some new information in the decades-old cold case. The mother of three told investigators she left in 2001 because of ongoing domestic issues. The Rockingham County District Attorney said there wasn't enough evidence to pursue criminal charges related to Smith's disappearance, like abandonment, but the original DWI charge remained active. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Jalosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1981.
President Jimmy Carter.
We have now reached an agreement with Iran, which will result in the freedom of our American hostages.
I, Ronald Reagan, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House, pending return of the Vice President.
I have been in labor negotiations for 25 years. The only people that ever win from a strike are the lawyers.
Charles Philip Arthur George, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, so long as you both shall live?
I will.
MTV is just videos with music.
As a judge, it is not my function to continue to try to develop public policy by means of making the law.
News as it happens then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk. The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
Welcome back to the All-Star Panel. We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
I talked to a British diplomat, Mark, who said it is not the insurance issues as far as the tankers going through the strait. Lloyd's of London still going to insure them. It's actually the captains of those vessels and making a determination whether they're going or not. And, you know, the president on True Social threatening, if I see one mine, if one mine is laid, then Iran will see, you know, a pushback bomb dropping that they have never seen before. You know, threatening on True Social, saying they're going after these mine boats. But to Jennifer's point, it is complex.
It is complex, but in the history of U.S. military engagement, is this really something that should paralyze the United States from carrying out a military operation? I mean, you've done histories of previous wars and previous administrations. We've all seen, you know, how does this compare to the Battle of Iwo Jima? How does this compare to some of the costs that America has paid to defeat dangerous adversaries? A few weeks of the strait being closed, if it is, or a temporary spike in oil prices in exchange for eliminating the threat that the Iranian regime has posed to the world for 47 years. I think once the operation is complete, any blowback politically is going to pale comparison to the success of having achieved that operation. And by the way, as to what Juan was saying about how people were coming out in favor of the regime and the Iranian people haven't come out to oppose the regime, that's because we haven't dismantled we haven't gotten to the point of the campaign where we're dismantling the instruments of repression. So if you're a regime supporter and you go to any totalitarian country and 10 to 15% of the population supports the regime, you're free to come out. And we're not, obviously not taking out civilians. So they're free to do that. Trump told the people of Iran, stay in your homes. Wait, time will let you know when it's time to come out on the streets. And we saw millions of them come out on the streets before the operation when they were facing the regime, and they're waiting to do it again. So I'm quite confident the Iranian people, when the moment comes, will move to take their country back.
Juan, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu addressed the Iranian people directly again, saying the Ayatollahs and their aides are fleeing the country. In the coming days, we will create the conditions for you to fulfill your destiny. So the message is being sent. The question is, you know, are groups on the ground armed? It's not going to be the Kurds, the Iranian Kurds in the north, to your point of that interview that I did last week, the PUK leader. I think it's, you know, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's an understatement. It's quite interesting. You know, it's just from the American perspective, you know, President Trump has taken a great risk here, and with a potentially great reward. I think Mark touched on it. You know, the great reward would be saying we have been up against this evil force in the Middle East for, you know, 50 plus years. And everybody has tried to deal with it one way or another, but never have we eliminated it. I eliminated it, President Trump can say. Then he demands unconditional surrender, and he says this will be, you know, we will just devastate them. Well, in some ways, what strikes me is it's almost like we're in the easy phase. We are such a superior military force to the Iranians, and they can't stop us from doing what we want to do, eliminating Air Force, Navy, and all that. But the more difficult thing is then what comes next. And, you know, we can hope for the civilian population to respond. But what we're seeing globally is a lot of anxiety, uncertainty, even here at home. The war does not have, I don't think, 50% of American support.
It's right about there.
Yeah, so it's a real problem, you know, as to how long this can be sustained. And, you know, I think from President Trump's perspective, he wants to keep it going, but comfort the stock market, to comfort gas buyers and say, just give us a little more time to achieve this larger goal. We'll see how it goes. At the moment, I think Americans are wary after, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, and I think that, you know, half the country obviously doesn't put a lot of trust in President Trump to tell them what's going on there. So there's a lot of anxiety about this issue.
There's anxiety. I think there's some optimism, at least you read it in the polls. But back to the Strait really quickly, Jennifer. It's important to point out that Iran, 90% of Iran's oil flows through the Strait. 40% of China's oil flows through the Strait. So, you know, you shut it completely down, they're feeling the pinch, too.
The belief among military planners, and again, this goes back, this plan has been in place for, you know, multiple CENTCOM commanders going back more than a dozen years. The belief was that if the Iranian regime feels like its back is against the wall, that it is not going to survive, that it's an existential threat, that is when they will mine the Strait. That is when they will go for broke. And, you know, I think our experience in the past in fighting against, Shia Muslims or Muslims in the Middle East is that there is, you can't apply a Western logic to what is rational in terms of what they will do. And if they feel that they're going to lose everything, they will mine the Strait. And that is, they're tiptoeing into it. There are some reports that some mines have been laid, that the military is obviously watching this closely. They've taken out some of the boats. But it is amazing how disruptive, whether we look back through the Iraq war and suicide bombings, they have these, you know, really almost a very limitless supply of these drones, these Shahed drones that can target boats. They can be very annoying and disruptive, and all they have to do is hit one boat and it becomes, or one U.S. warship, and we're in a different phase of this conflict. So as much as the goal is to have this be a 4 to 5 week operation, we know how wars, you know, they can take on twists and turns depending on what the enemy does.
That's exactly right. Panel, thanks so much. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review. We want to hear from you. For Mark, Juan, and Jennifer, I'm Brett Baer.
We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1970.
The student now goes to college to proclaim rather than to learn. The lessons of the past are ignored and obliterated in a contemporary antagonism known as the generation gap.
You just go through a phase of wanting to be up there, you know, in the limelight. Well, I'm going through a phase now where I don't want to be in the limelight.
Ali comes out to meet Frazier, but Frazier starts to retreat. If Frazier goes back an inch farther, he'll wind up in a ringside seat. Ali swings to the left. Ali swings to the right. Look at the kids carry the fight.
Everybody just gathered around, organized, and it was orderly. No kids were out of hand. They just wanted to talk. She starts throwing tear gas, and the kids were picking up and throwing them back at the cops. And they chased the kids over the hill. The cops were boxing those kids all around them. All of a sudden, the cops got trigger happy and shot kids.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Fox News Books has boasted a host of bestsellers. Now, Fox News Books enters the world of podcasting. This season, the Fox News Books podcast presents The Miracles Among Us. For its first season, Fox News Books will present this special podcast brought to you by the author, Fox News senior medical analyst, Dr. Mark Siegel. The Miracles Among Us on the Fox News Books podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
This is Jason Chaffetz from the Jason in the House podcast. Join me every Monday to dive deeper into the latest political headlines and chat with remarkable guests to hear their take on American life, politics, and entertainment. And don't forget, there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com
or wherever you download podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Mahalia Jackson, who died in 1972, is widely regarded as the first queen of gospel music. Although she was a heralded and much-loved performer, she lived a double life in racially divided America.
When I'm on the stage and on television and working with white people, they just hug me and love me and say I'm so wonderful and I'm so great. And then when I'm walking down the street like an ordinary citizen, they don't recognize me. And when I go into the department store in the South, I can't get a sandwich. I can't get a bottle of pop. I got to stay. I can't even get a cab. And I'm just the Mahalia Jackson that they got to saying how wonderful I am. I don't understand this. What makes people like that?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute. A multi-state manhunt has ended with the arrest of an Iowa man in connection with a triple homicide in Wayne County, Utah. The suspect, 22-year-old Ivan Miller, was taken into custody in Colorado. He is accused of killing three women in what investigators are describing as crimes of convenience. Authorities say 86-year-old Margaret Oldroyd was his first victim, and her body was found hidden in a cellar on her property. Police report Miller then stole Oldroyd's vehicle and drove to a trailhead where he allegedly killed two hikers, 65-year-old Linda Dewey and her 34-year-old niece, Natalie Graves. The women were discovered by their husbands when they failed to return from their walk. He faces three counts of aggravated murder, among other charges. Wayne County officials state there is no connection between the suspect and any of the victims. There's more on this story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
The workforce is retiring, especially in the skilled trades. This year, for every five who leave, two come in. The arithmetic's not on our side. The perceptions are not on our side. The need is clear and present and maybe existential. And that's why it's really exciting to see the grown-ups come together and say, all right, it's time. This is the year we close the gap.
Let's talk about the U.S. economy tonight. Larry Fink is the chairman and CEO of BlackRock, considered the world's largest asset manager. Larry, thanks for being here.
And it's great to be here.
I want to talk about this new project, the Future Builders Initiative, and the specifics there. But I want to ask you first about how you think this war in Iran, the action in Iran, is affecting investing. Obviously, the global oil market has taken a spike.
Yes.
There is a sense from the president that that's going to be short-lived. How do you look at it from your seat?
Well, it's great to be here. Obviously, it creates uncertainty, and uncertainty creates fear. But that being said, the $14.5 trillion of money we manage, most of it is very long-dated. I don't pay much attention to the short-term volatility. But I focus more on these longer-term trends. Do I believe the war is going to be lasting a long time? No. Do I believe oil is going to be reverting back to where it was? Maybe even lower. I mean, if the outcome of the war is a neutralized Iran, and they are allowed to be, you know, selling products into the market again, oil into the market again, I mean, there's probably a great probability that oil is going to be below 50. But once again, that's a short-term move and all that. But I do believe the markets find a way to balance out. And the markets are a great efficient mechanism to talk about that identifies, you know, short-term issues. So obviously there are short-term issues. There's fear that the war could last longer. Yesterday, oil spiked quite a bit. In the last few days, it's starting to come down again, especially in light that the president did alert to say this is not going to be a long-dated war. And so I do believe we'll normalize over time. But that being said, in the short run, it creates fear and uncertainty. And we've seen many people pulling out of the market. And to me, that's the wrong outcome. In fact, I've been getting so many texts, what should I do? And I said, buy more here. Because this is a good long-term opportunity.
Was it similar on uncertainty when it came to tariffs and then the Supreme Court ruling and how that's affected things as well? Or is it totally different ballgame?
Well, that took almost, you know, close to 9 months from the time we had Liberation Day to maybe when the Supreme Court came out with their ruling. I think the market adjusted very rapidly. I mean, we did not see the inflation that we thought we were going to see because of the tariffs. That being said, companies have absorb some of the costs. Tariffs are added cost to these importation of these products. But I think companies became more efficient. They went back to the manufacturer and say, you absorb some of that. And so it all was worked out. But at the same time, so we probably have had some inflationary trends because of tariffs. But at the same time, we're having, you know, very large deflationary trends because of the role of AI and how that's playing into the economy. And so I do believe what we're witnessing, this push and pull of inflationary trends. It is my view that inflation is structurally going to be going down because I do believe AI and the role of AI is going to increase productivity, and through that mechanism, it does lower inflation. And that will mean lower interest rates, lower mortgage rates, so that should be good for the economy.
You mentioned AI. Obviously, a big concern about AI is jobs.
Yes.
And what that looks like. You have this Future Builders Initiative launched. Tell me about this and what's the purpose?
Well, we believe that AI is a transformational technology. We believe it's no different than, you know, when we created the trains in the 19th century and transformed our economy. I think this is another transformational technology that will transform the economy. It's going to reshape how the economy is maneuvering. It's going to change in some areas. It's going to change the role of jobs in some businesses, but in many other areas, it's going to create an enormous amount of jobs.
You have a chart of job growth,
yes,
where you kind of make an estimate of,
yes, where we believe a huge job growth is going to be. Is it going to be in the build out of our infrastructure? We estimate there's going to be a need for $10 trillion of investing in the United States alone over the course of the next 8 years. $10 trillion. And that money is being invested into our economy. Now, what that means is going to be creating a huge amount of jobs in construction, and building out our grid, and building out data centers, making sure that we have energy resilience. And so it's going to create a huge amount of jobs. We don't have enough skilled workers to meet the needs of these jobs. If you talk to these company leadership about finding workers in the build-out of this incredible technological change, we're not ready for it, and we have to win. If we don't win this, China's going to win. And so to me, this is imperative, and so we came out with this belief that BlackRock is going to work with the BlackRock Foundation, and the foundation is starting this project called Future Builders. We're going to be providing $100 million over 5 years to help train young Americans to go into these skills, whether it's in plumbing or electricians, to build this out. And we think we could help 50,000 Americans build their careers in this. And these AI jobs are $100,000 to $150,000 jobs in these fields, and we don't have enough. I mean, I'm sure most of the viewers right now are saying, my gosh, when I get a plumber to my house, they're charging me $80 an hour now. Okay. And the reason why they're able to charge it, we don't have enough skilled workers in America in these trades. And so we believe it's imperative to say, okay, we are in front of a transformational technology. We need to face it head on. And the way we're going to face it head on, we have to retrain and train more Americans to fill these needs. And so this is what we are announcing.
You know, we did this series on AI and all different perspectives,
yeah,
of it and the energy aspect of it. There are some people that are afraid of it. You're not one of those. You feel that it is going to be transformational on the upside?
I think it creates incredible change. So let me just start again and repeat myself. We have to win this or China will. And I think it will have dramatic consequences throughout the world. I think AI is going to be the transformational technology to transform an economy, transform health, transform how we live. Does that mean we're going to have changes in the mix of jobs? Yes. But do we believe over time AI is going to create many new jobs, maybe jobs that we can't even imagine? Can it eliminate some form of jobs? Yes. Are we going to create more productivity through that, meaning we're going to do more with fewer people? Yes.
Is that a 1-2 point GDP? Is that a, what do you put it as?
So if you look at it, the role of technology in the last three quarters, we estimate 50% of the GDP in the last few quarters has been the role of technology and the build out of our power grids, the build out of data centers. The fear where I see where data centers are representing the fear in America, they take a lot of power, a lot of electricity. And we've seen throughout America, in some places, rising electricity prices. And so if we're going to build out AI and beat and become the leader of the world in AI, we need to be ensuring ourselves that we're building out enough power, enough electricity to meet the needs of AI, but also making sure it's that electricity remains affordable to every American. And that's a hard thing right now because our power grids are really antiquated in some of our states. We've underinvested in electricity over the last 30 years. And in fact, you know, if you look at the utilities, they just did not have the demand, so they did not invest. And now this demand is skyrocketing. And so in some communities, we've witnessed rising electricity prices. What we need to do, we need to be working with our communities throughout the country and building out these data centers, but sourcing power at the same time. And so we have plenty of natural gas. So we're going to have to design these data centers where there's plentiful resources for power. I would also say we need to be more pragmatic as a country in energy. We have so much sun. I do believe this calls for us to relook at what we're doing with solar. But to do solar properly as a country, we need to build those solar panels here in the United States. We need to build the battery storage here in the United States. Elon Musk has talked about this, as did other people. We can't, you know, the reason why solar is a difficult conversation today, because right now most solar panels are made in China, as is most batteries are made in China. And so we need to be pragmatic, focusing on all the wealth we have in hydrocarbons, but at the same time, because the power needs are so vast and the need to win in AI, we're going to have this open, pragmatic point. And we have so much sun. We have so much, you know, look at the vastness of this country. We have great places where you put solar fields, but they need to be built in America. And we need to build that alongside, you know, we're now focusing on building chips in the United States. We need to be focusing on building solar panels in the United States and building the technology around the best storage for batteries. And then we could have both the hydrocarbons, you know, natural gas mostly.
Nuclear,
and,
maybe.
But nuclear is probably going to be 6 to 7, maybe 10 years out. Hopefully through AI, and I've heard this from a few of the CEOs of the AI companies, hopefully through AI, we're going to solve the issue around fusion faster, and then we have huge abundance of power. And that will transform the world, by the way. If we make power and energy abundant and cheap, that transforms the entire globe.
Don't go anywhere. More of this interview coming right up.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
America, look around. Everywhere you go, prices are still high, rates have been whipsawing markets, and the debt and spending don't exactly scream stability. Experts say diversifying with intention is the number one secret account that all American smart money uses to hedge against instability. Monetary Gold has been around since 2000, witnessing multiple economic setbacks. If you call now, Monetary Gold will cover up to a lifetime of your IRA fees on qualified accounts. Call Monetary Gold now at 877-NOW-GOLD. That's 877-NOW-GOLD. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage Powered Nasal Irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust #1 doctor-recommended Navage, available at Walmart and Walgreens.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Fox News Books has boasted a host of bestsellers. Now, Fox News Books enters the world of podcasting. This season, the Fox News Books podcast presents The Miracles Among Us. For its first season, Fox News Books will present this special podcast brought to you by the author, Fox News senior medical analyst, Dr. Mark Siegel. The Miracles Among Us on the Fox News Books podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Hello, everyone. This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
Neil McDonough portrays Jesus. Stacey Keach, Sean Astin, Michael York, and Kristen Bell provide the voices for some of Jesus' notable followers. A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told, The Life of Jesus.
Make sure to spread the word.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show. Underlining your conversation in a number of these aspects is China.
Yes.
And the competition with China.
Correct.
The president's going to China at the end of the month.
Yes.
We'll be taking the show on the road there. What do you think comes out of that? Is this, considering where the world is, with Iran, Venezuela, maybe Cuba.
Cuba, yeah.
It's a different dynamic. And he heads there with a different, you know, leverage perhaps. Perhaps not. How do you see it?
We need to find a way to cooperate with the total realization they're a big competitor to us. We still have hundreds of billions of dollars of trade with China. And they are a huge buyer of our agricultural goods. They're the largest buyer of our soybeans. So there is ways of cooperating where we both can find ways to help each other. But we also have to be very mindful. They want to win, and we want to win. And there's only going to be one winner. But importantly, the winner, not only just winning in each country, the stakes are broader than winning in the United States or winning in China. The stakes are the country that creates the technology needs to be the country that disperses the technology. We want to make sure that if we have the best technology, all our allies are using U.S. technology, not Chinese technology. And we want in the Internet. The United States is, you know, the creator of the Internet alongside with Europe and some of the actions, but we won in the dispersion of the Internet. You know, this is why our technology giants like Google and Amazon and Microsoft, they're dispersed in the world. But when you think about 5G, we created 5G, but they were the disperser. Huawei is in every major emerging country. It is not our technology. We don't have it. And that should be a lesson. And there's books about this, that lesson. So if AI is going to be that radical transformation technology that's going to transform the world, that's going to create more, you know, maybe fusion and abundance and power, I think we have to be the country that wins, that it that is a U.S.-based technology that's within all our allies' countries. And more importantly, we need to be working with our countries like we're developing, like India. We want our technology in India. And so these are big consequences. And I do believe as we talk about war, for national security purposes, it's far better to have our technology dispersed than China.
Let me get you to look in the rearview mirror here. Do you believe, the woke era a failed experiment? The ESG, the DEI, the kind of push for that. That when you talk about things now, you talk in a practical sense. What we can do, what we can get done. Looking back at that, how do you see it?
Society moves. The pendulum moves all the time. In BlackRock's cases, we are responsible for managing money for everybody. And even today, as you said, maybe these renewables are less talked about it. I can tell you right now, we have many investors worldwide are investing in renewables, trying to emphasize solar and other things like that. We're working with Occidental Petroleum right now to building the best carbon capture factories in Texas right now. So do I believe the pendulum 5 years ago was too far? Yes.
You do.
I believe we're more I'm personally more pragmatic, too. And I believe...
But do you think BlackRock pushed some companies a little bit further left than you thought?
It was never our intention, because our job is to be... I got to be a fiduciary to everybody who gives us money. Our responsibility, Brett, is to making sure if one of our investors wants to invest 100% in hydrocarbons in Texas, I'm investing 100% of the money in Texas. But if another state fund wants us to invest in, let's say, all green energy, we're going to do that. It's their money. And I would say some of the conversations were misrepresented, but even when people accused me of things like that, we said in 2000 no one should ever divest from hydrocarbons, but we should be looking at some of the other technologies, and I still believe that today. But today, because of AI and the overwhelming need for power and electricity, it can't just be one way right now. It can't just be hydrocarbons. So if you see what China is doing right now, China is rapidly building more nuclear than any other country in the world. They have the largest solar fields in the world, yet they're the biggest importer of gas and oil. And so to me, more importantly today, I think society has moved into a better position of having more pragmatism, and what you're hearing from me is I'm echoing what we're hearing from our clients.
And you think the U.S. can win? The U.S. can win against China. The way we're positioned now.
We are, I'm somebody who travels all around the world and visits everything and has many conversations. I just led the World Economic Forum and President Trump there. We're winning. But when I hear people talk about, is there an AI bubble? Am I worried about all this? And I said, no, I'm worried about we're not investing enough money because we have to win. And so to me, I'm trying to take the counter narrative right now and saying, yes, I understand all the fears. Yes, I understand some jobs are going to be diminished. A lot of jobs are going to be increased. And so, but we need to have a conversation. And that, to me, that's the most important thing. Let's not be surprised. Let's talk about these issues today. Let's openly talk about them. Let's find a solution. And and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a conversation. And we may disagree in some of the conversations, but through conversations, we're going to have better understanding.
Well, Larry, it's fascinating. Thanks very much for the time.
You're welcome. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah.
If your investments are in a 401k or an IRA, then listen carefully. You spent 30, maybe 40 years building your retirement. The question is, are you about to watch it take a hit you can't recover from? Military escalation in Iran, tariffs in legal chaos, the U.S. dollar under pressure it hasn't seen in years. History is clear. When this much uncertainty hits at once, the investors who moved into gold and silver first came out ahead. Right now, Advantage Gold is offering a free gold investment kit and a free copy of economist Ken Rogoff's powerful new book, Our Dollar, Your Problem. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000. Thousands of Americans have already rolled over a portion of their 401k or IRA into physical gold and silver, completely tax and penalty free, through Advantage Gold. Don't wait for the next surge to wish you had moved sooner. Results vary. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
When you have a workers' compensation case, the insurance companies and adjusters are not on your side. Speak with an attorney to be sure you're not missing out on the benefits that you need and are entitled to. Workers' compensation is complicated. Gorman Law can help you turn a bad situation into a new opportunity. Call us at 530-262-2168, 530-262-2168, or schedule a free consultation online at GormanComplaw.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.